I pray that I may speak and you may hear, in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I've been asked to speak relatively briefly, and that may be the best thing, because on a Remembrance Sunday, words usually fail, and it is our remembering of people and situations and the sacrifice and the tragedies bound up into the terror and violence of war that really matters. In fact, it's not actually the remembering, it's the not forgetting. So what and who do I remember on Remembrance Sunday? Well, as I said a couple of years ago, I always remember my father, who spent 40 years in the army. Although he'd talk about his army life and the many places in which he served, what I always remember today is that he would never, ever talk about his war experience. As far as he was concerned, it was just too awful, too horrific, too painful for ordinary human conversation. Every Remembrance Sunday, though, he was heard to mutter as we watched the ceremonies from the cenotaph, "It must never happen again. It must never happen again." For some years, I've served on the Independent Advisory Panel for Pirbright Barracks, where most new army recruits have their initial training these days. Our role is to monitor everything to do with a new recruit's training. When I started, I followed a group of raw recruits from day one to their passing out 14 weeks later. On the evening of their first day, round a campfire, they had to tell their stories. And some were only 16 or 17, and some were hardly articulate. Some felt passionately about serving their country. Some felt it was the army or prison for them. Some had escaped horrendous family situations. And as I listened to each one of them, I was thinking, in 6 to 9 months' time, you might well be in Afghanistan, which was indeed true, and some have not come back. One of my responsibilities as Archdeacon of Surrey is to relate to army chaplains in the diocese. I can recall the Assistant Chaplain General saying to me that for every death in Iraq or Afghan, there's a family in agony here in England. And an army chaplain recently returned, I had a horrific conversation with him. He was clearly and understandably traumatized by seeing a good friend blown to pieces in front of his eyes. And then there's the school friend of mine who joined the Navy and has never really recovered from his appalling experience on the Sir Galahad when it was bombed and caught fire in the Falklands War. And then there's the young friend of Sally and myself, whom I mentioned before, Joe, who at the age of 21 was killed by a roadside bomb in Afghanistan. Shortly before he went there, he took his mother as a treat to New York. They went to ground zero, and Joe said to his mother, "You often ask me why I joined the army. This is why." And I remember from my time at Coventry Cathedral, my visits to Northern Ireland, and those scarred by the Civil War there, or in the ruins of the bombed old cathedral, conversations with those who'd been imprisoned by the Japanese and with their captors. In an odd way, I have been fortunate to have encountered all these people and many others myself, which means that I cannot forget and have to remember accounts of sacrifice and commitment, heroism and service, as well as of the horror and pain of people who've given their lives for you and for me. On Remembrance Sunday, we're here not to forget, to remember with respect and gratitude all those who gave and are giving their lives that we might live, and how awful and appalling war is. And if their service and sacrifice is not to be in vain, despite those who would have us believe it was, like Hamid Karzai, we must not forget. And we recall too that in war, all lose, and the innocent men and women lose their lives on all sides. And although today we might be thinking of friends, members of our families, and many others, known and unknown, who gave their lives that we might live, we can also think about Jesus himself, who laid down his life for his friends, and in a particularly bloody and barbaric way, laid down his life that we might have new life. And through that laying down and his subsequent resurrection, despite the Sadducees of our gospel, has shown us that good can come out of evil, that darkness can be overcome by light, that we are right to work for a transformation in ourselves, in our society, and in our world. We're at the Eucharist, the sacrament given to us so that we can remember. Do this in remembrance of me. And what do we remember? Because of the life and love and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is new life. It is right to hope. We can expect change. We can constructively work for an end to war and suffering. There is resurrection for everything, you and me included. Christianity is no insurance policy against suffering, against pain, misfortune, or even confusion. It's a faith which accepts the reality of human existence and the God who came here to experience that humanity and to win through. In an act of amazing love and sacrifice, he gave up his life for his friends. And that is the context in which we're doing our remembering now. The remembering of the men and women who've given their lives and the remembering of the brutality of war, we're doing it in the context of resurrection, which means that we can really and earnestly commit ourselves to the search for peace and reconciliation, which is the greatest way we can honour the memory of those who've drawn us here today. Amen.